abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Can you hear me, Sally? Good. This morning's readings are all about decisions, and some tough decisions that people had to make in those days in their lives, but equally we've got to make in our lives today. And if you think about it, most choices that we have to make in our lives, the day-to-day ones, aren't all that important. It'll probably make very little difference whether we choose vanilla or raspberry ripple ice cream, whether we get up in the morning at 7 o'clock or 7:15. If we have a bunch of tulips in the house or a bunch of daffodils. They're not major decisions. But the big, important decision that drives everything else that we decide is the direction that we choose to face as we walk through life. And that's what Jesus was just saying to his disciples as people were turning their back on him. The decision that we choose to face, the direction we choose to face as we walk through life. So in that first reading that John's just read for us from Joshua, the significance of this commitment is made thoroughly clear to the people, since Joshua wants to be sure that everyone really knows what they're voting for. Have a look at it again when you get home if you need to. They need to know what they're voting for, together with the potential cost as well as the benefits from the decision. And having laid out the facts, Joshua then gives the lead. He's not opting out of leadership and suggesting that either choice is as good as the other, but offers one direction as choosing life and the other death. And he takes his stand on the good choice as he declares, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's a very well-known phrase from the Bible, isn't it? "As for me and my household," actually, "we will serve the Lord." In fact, we've actually in our house at home, we've got that phrase hanging in the hallway. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The people then wholeheartedly agreed, basing their commitment on the actual experience of God, of God's consistent loving care of them. In a genuine but over-enthusiastic desire to allow freedom and engender mutual respect, our own age now that we're living in tends to distrust any absolutes, preferring to think of all truth as relative and a matter of individual choice. So what one believes may be true, another one may not. In such a climate, it takes our courage to profess our faith in Jesus Christ. How many of us could actually perhaps walk in the local pub and say, "Hi, Jesus is my Savior"? It takes courage, doesn't it? And we may often find ourselves in the minority as Christians. People actively dispute quite wildly our moral principles. So we hear with empathy today's gospel of those of how Jesus felt and how those people were turning away from him. Many disciples were walking away from Jesus and walking away from his claims. He was claiming that he had a very close relationship with God. It's too much for all those disciples around him to come to terms with, and they conclude that Jesus has now overstepped the mark. And sometimes we too are faced with that same challenge. We're challenged with this thought: either Jesus, as a good and gifted human being, has overreached his sanity a bit, or is he speaking the truth? Those disciples had to make that decision. If the latter was so, that he was speaking the truth, he must indeed be the Holy One of God, with all that this implied for them and for us now, 2,000 years later. Making decisions like that can be very difficult. Throughout our lives, we make decisions. Let's just try it for a minute. Who's a football fan? Crikey, not many. Rugby then? Rugby even worse. Any cricket fans? Who loves early mornings? Do you? Brilliant. Is that why you were early for church this morning? Yeah. Who's an owl then and stays up late at night? Loads. You stop up late at night as well?
Nah.
Right, what? Who's a dog person? Now, I'll tell you a story in a minute now. Who's a cat person? Yeah, Susie found a kitten yesterday. You'll see Susie walking around Chesterton with a dog. You might see her with a kitten on a lead next as well. So we've got some dog people and some cat people, right. What I'm illustrating is they are all a matter of choice, aren't they? And happily, we're all different. So we all like to choose different toppings on our pizzas, don't we? Different music to listen to. Different colours to wear. It's wonderful and it's important that we're all different. But there are some things that we can't choose in life, because it's been decided that there is a collective good way of going on. And we could say those are like the laws of the land. We can't choose the laws, they're made for us. So we all drive on the same side of the road, or we hope we do, don't we? Whatever part of the UK we're in, we drive on the left. All the children go to school and learn how to read and write, do their maths and their science. We all pay our taxes on what we earn, so everyone, both poor and rich, can use the schools and the hospitals and so on. So going back to that reading in the Old Testament, Joshua wants the people to decide for themselves on some important things before they go into the promised land, whether they really want to serve the Lord, their God, or not. And that is a major decision. Do they want to serve the Lord, their God, or not? And they've got to make that decision before they travel. He makes it quite clear to them that they'll not only be choosing wisely if they do choose to worship God, as he is real and powerful, and the other gods that they had then were not. It's a little bit like asking a football team if they're going to choose to play with a leather football or a hard cricket ball in an international match. There's not much point in playing with anything other than the real thing, is there? We move on to the gospel reading that I've just read, and we hear there of the crowds choosing not to walk with Jesus. They don't walk with him anymore because he seemed to be making out that he was the Holy One of God. What a nerve Jesus had got, making out he was the Holy One of God. Jesus asked his disciples if they were going to turn away as well. What are you going to do then? Are you going to turn away from me? And Peter spoke on behalf of them all. And he says, Lord, who else could we go to, seeing that you are the one with the words of eternal life? So when we know that God is real and that Jesus really is the Holy One of God, what else can we do than to make the sensible, wise choice and commit ourselves to following Jesus? That's the biggest decision of our lives. It's the wisest, most important choice that we make in the whole of our lives. Amen.